Hi, Makers. You're listening to the Our Maker Life podcast, and I'm OML Dream Teamer and founder and your host, Jewel Christine. My father has five children, four of us girls and one brother. My siblings, especially my sisters and I, are all extremely close. And though we're all scattered across different sides of the country, we make sure to fly home, get together, and enjoy each other. It doesn't matter if it's just for a few days during the summer or for Christmas time, we're there for each other. We've been through so much together, good and bad, but we've always had each other. We played together, were partners in crime together, cried together, and when our parents separated and divorced, we experienced that together too. You see, in between the weddings and the baby showers and our college graduations lies a lifetime of memories to experience and remember together. I don't have children of my own yet, but I know that being a mother is a job that takes true courage and love and passion. And I think the saying is true. It takes a village to raise a child. My mother in particular doesn't have a bachelor's or master's degree, but she's hands down the smartest woman that I know. To this day, I still cannot outwit her in a game of Scrabble. But I know that my family around me supported my mom in helping to raise us, and for that, I'm grateful. But this isn't just about my story. I'm here to tell you another. I'm here to tell you a story of the children of Haiti and one inspiring maker that's doing her part to help them.
I love you, Jesus, because you are my friend. I love you, Jesus, because you are my friend. Because you are my friend. Because you are my friend.
My first trip to Haiti was in response to the earthquake, so going into it, I really had these preconceived notions of what the people would be like and what these children would be like, and I just had so much empathy for what I imagined their circumstances to be and how that would have affected them in a number of ways, emotionally, spiritually, physically.
Meet Teresa Carter, the maker and woman behind the beautiful Etsy shop De Brose NYC. Her story is almost as beautiful and charming as you can get. A Southern belle who traded in her Atlanta, Georgia days with her husband for the fast-paced New York lifestyle. Soon after moving up north, she would leave the full-time graphic design job she moved there for in the name of knitting and craftsmanship and for the love of the orphaned children of Haiti.
The funny thing about my shop, De Brose, is that it never was actually the plan. So I don't have this huge passion for scarves. I didn't grow up crocheting, and I definitely never aspired to owning my own business. The whole thing just sort of came together as this beautiful, sustainable response to a problem that I came across in my first trip to Haiti.
Teresa said her first two-week journey to Haiti is one that would last her a lifetime and help her discover a love she never knew she needed.
When we first drove up to this dilapidated post-earthquake shelter, these kids just come running out. There's 67 of them. Their grins are just ear to ear, and they're just like overwhelmingly joyful. I mean, it was like just like the most beautiful scene, and I just fell in love with them. We shared tickles and snuggles and, lollipops on our best of days, and it was just an incredible trip. They filled this new place in my heart that I, didn't realize that was there, that someone that I didn't know or share a language with could fill. When I returned after those 2 weeks, I just came into this new heartache that I had never known before. I wasn't myself for weeks. I was plagued with this overwhelming weight and desire to continue loving these kids. And I knew I couldn't be there with them full time. So what I wanted to do was find a way to incorporate loving them into my daily life. I had no idea what that would look like, but I knew that that was what I was going to make happen. So I asked my mom if she would teach me how to crochet, and she was very excited about it, as you can imagine. She had made me blankets as a kid, and it was just a really cool idea that her and I could make blankets for children whose mothers wouldn't be able to make blankets for them. So we were really excited to kind of go on this little journey together. I think over the course of the next 9 months, we made just a bit over 150 blankets for the kids, which was quite the adventure. And, we just had no idea where it would lead. We had learned with time that the children's needs were much greater than blankets. And, we always knew that, but the blanket project was so fun that it was like okay, we'll make a difference, we'll do this, it's going to be great. But the more I got to know the kids, the more I realized, like, hey, this is actually, like, this is so much bigger than finding the perfect, like, cute and fuzzy pink yarn to make a snuggly blanket. Like, there are literal needs that these children have that if we're wise and really care about them, that is where we would focus our time and attention. So I took this love for the children and crocheting, and I opened an Etsy shop in their name.
Fittingly, Teresa named her Etsy shop after Little De Brazé, one of the first children she got to hug and share lollipops and sing with. And with each passing day in the Big Apple, Teresa started to stitch her love for De Brazé and his friends into her own heart and business. She began selling her Etsy shop scarves to the general public and reinvesting a portion of the proceeds back to the children. Back to De Brazé, who at a wry 4 years old stole Teresa's heart. Back to the love she never knew she needed and would give her all for him through knitwear. But now, through knitting, through making, they were together, and now she could hold tight to the memory of the first time she and De Brazé met.
He was, like, sitting on this sack of potatoes under a staircase in this, like, back closet, and I just happened to go in there for something and just kind of, like, saw him in there, like, with a little wry smile on his face. And we just sort of locked eyes and bonded in that moment. I hopped up on the potatoes with him and just sort of, like, got on his level, because if you can imagine trying to make friends in a Haitian orphanage, it's like, I'm mid-20s, he's 4, we look nothing like each other, we don't speak the same language. So it's just unlike any other social situation I had come into until that point. I'm so thankful that we met each other. I mean, I had no idea when I met him that he would become the inspiration behind what I've now built in his name.
And what Teresa's built is no small feat. Her shop is among some of the most beautiful handmade crochet and knit scarves you'll see. She makes dozens upon dozens of them a week. And she showcases her love for craftsmanship and her love for De Brazé through the small squares of Instagram. There you see her minimalist style, so clean, so chic, so New York, and so lovely. Lovely for De Brazé, and for the bond they've created, and for the memories they're making each year that she returns to Haiti to visit him. And the beanies Teresa made with his name packaged on it, and he loved it. Because though it takes a village, now they have each other, Teresa and De Brazé. But in between life as a New Yorker, like any knitwear designer, Teresa says being a maker comes with its challenges, and finding her own sense of style and being inspired by other makers around her too.
One of the most challenging things for me as a maker in my business and social and personal life right now is that there's really no distinction between the three, which is, you know, arguably a good thing, but also has its cons. For me is that I took two of my favorite things, which were making and orphan care, and I turned them into work, basically. So now I get to do what I love during work, but it's a lot harder to tell when work ends and my personal life should begin. So quite often I'll have a to-do list for the day and I'll get through that, but I'll still really want to crochet, or, you know, I'll still really want to plan my next trip to Haiti. But I think it's, you know, a discipline that I haven't quite, grasped yet to know when I'm done and to go invest in other things. Anyone who has seen my shop or my Instagram account usually makes the comment about the sheer lack of color that I use. And to be honest, I think it's one of my favorite parts about my collection. I'm a huge fan of clean and minimal and practical design. And I think neutrals really embody the heart of what those things mean. So living in New York has really drawn this further out of me as well. Our apartment is 350 square feet, which if you look around you is probably like the size of the room that you're sitting in right now listening to this. But we love it. It's like this tiny little shoebox and it's just like perfect. We use our microwave as a fifth cabinet, if it gives you any idea as to how we organize this place to make it work for us. But it's great. It helps us streamline our thinking and our buying and the things that we keep for ourselves. And so I try to embody that in the pieces that I make for other people. So I'm always choosing fabrics and textures and colors that come together to create what I would consider to be a staple piece, right? So I don't want to be designing products that you're buying for that one off occasion to go with that one dusty dress that's in the back of your closet that you pull out for a particular event. What I want to do is design a collection that you can use season after season. It matches all of your winter coats, And it's just a very practical piece with a lot of functionality, and is not limited to only a certain event or portion of your wardrobe. So a great way to achieve that for me has been to eliminate color, and then also to eliminate anything that's super trendy. I think two of my favorite makers on Instagram, hands down, would have to be Haley behind Ozetta and Sarah behind Chock Full of Love.
Teresa says her friends and her mother and the smiles of Dave Rosé and his friends have inspired her and her husband to want to do more, especially for the mothers of Haiti, and to unravel some of the misconceptions and preconceived notions there.
Recently, my husband and I have been really drawn to the idea of investing in the parents, specifically the mothers in Haiti, as a more proactive than reactive approach to orphan care. Because it isn't a lack of love that's ripping apart these families, it's poverty. And I think that's a huge misconception of what an orphan is. We can actually make a difference here and help keep children from becoming orphans in the first place. I mean, I selfishly just want to adopt as many children as I can and make sure that every forehead is kissed before bed and that those kids are just loved with such a fierce love. And one day we will adopt, but it's not going to fix the problem, right? It's not going to help all of the children that don't get adopted. But the reality is that these children do have families who would love that same opportunity to kiss those foreheads and love those children fiercely. So in Haitian culture, a lot of times what's actually happening is that the parents are giving their children over to an orphanage in the hope that they will be fed and educated and given an opportunity that they themselves can't provide. And I kind of just want to like restate that for a second because it's so huge. I think that these parents can often get a bad rap or be seen as bad parents because, you know, air quotes here, that they're giving up their children. But quite often it's a selfless act of love to say, I want more for you than I can give to you. So I'm going to let someone else have the joy of raising you so that you can then have opportunity that you wouldn't otherwise have had. So what we want to do this summer is go there and work with these moms, work with like these brave, brave women, and teach them how to crochet. I mean, if nothing else, it's really this fun new skill to have. I mean, it brings people together. It creates community. The current plan is to fund this venture out of our own pockets. It is something that we are super passionate about, my husband and I. And have decided, you know, if all else fails and it doesn't work, these are people that we want to be investing in anyway. And we just trust that the love and the work and the time and all of it goes to improving the lives of these women and helping them flourish in any way that they can. So even if they're able to just take the skill of crocheting and make a blanket for their child or make booties to sell in the market, that would bring us incredible joy.
Teresa says she and her husband want to stay humble with their dreams and with the shop, and she's got some advice for those of us who have our own Etsy shops or who want to start one as well, each with our own stories, our own passions, our own memories.
I think owning an Etsy shop as a whole is just this really organic process where you're just constantly learning, right? Like, I kind of always make the joke of like, oh, when I get everything shot or when I figure out all my products, like, then I'll be content there and like that will be good and then I can kind of like go on autopilot. But the reality is that you're never actually there, right? Like, you're never finished. If this is truly your passion and truly something that you want to continue growing and becoming better and better at. My advice would be twofold. First is know when to say yes, and then the second is know when to say no. And it's a discipline that I'm kind of learning myself every day and wrestling through, like, well, that's a good opportunity, I want to do that. But the reality is that sometimes there's great opportunities, and a yes to good opportunities might mean that you miss out on the great ones.
I hope Teresa's words and my words encouraged and inspired you a little more today. I know that the maker life can be challenging and that we're all working towards our dreams, and I truly believe in Teresa's mission. So if you have a chance to visit her Instagram, DebRosé_NYC, you can find the direct link to vote for her and her husband's opportunity to obtain the FedEx grant that would change the lives of so many through their knitwear shop and crochet mission. And you can vote once a day from now until June 13th. What Teresa is doing for Haiti through her apartment in New York City is truly beautiful, and my own dream team and I are excited to head to New York City ourselves this summer on July 30th for our first Maker Meetup. And I'm so excited to announce that we have officially sold out our event, and we're excited to meet the dozens and dozens and dozens of you who've registered. In addition to our Summer Maker Meetup, Kelly, Kathleen, Allison, Nathan, and myself are working hard and having tons of fun here on the blog with our Tuesday tips and patterns and questions of the week. And we've already been able to feature so many of you makers in your shops, and of course we want to feature more of you. So if you're interested in bringing some cool topics here to the podcast or the blog, feel free to shoot us an email at ourmakerlife@gmail.com. And until then, makers, keep dreaming, keep making, keep planning, and keep rising for those you love most and their song. If you stop and listen, it may just be a sweet melody you never thought you knew you needed.